On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Come Monday, it'll be alright.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. I can prove it. Here I am. It's me. How you doing today? Let's make this the most incredible day we've ever had. Chances are that won't happen, but let's try to make it that kind of day. Yeah. I had a lousy weekend, man. Oh, was it lousy. Oh, everything I touched went bad. Everything. Nothing was working out at all. But it's the start of a brand new week, an opportunity for things to go wrong for another week. No. I'm actually an optimist. Is the glass half empty? Is the glass half full? I don't care. Why are you giving me half a glass? Fill it to the top, babe. What are you doing here? What a weird analogy that is. Yeah, I have no idea. Things are weird. We're getting closer to the time when schools open up, and in parts of the country it actually has. Colleges are starting this week in some areas of the country. That should be fun. Man, I know, I'm sitting on pins and needles, which is not doing much for my hemorrhoids. Actually, it is relieving the hemorrhoids, to be honest. I could never be a truck driver. Oh, my God. I can't drive a big rig. I can't even deal with a small rig. How do you turn a corner? These people are amazing. How do you get this gigantic truck, this long oblong box on wheels, to make a corner? Wow. And then you back it up and you got to maneuver it into a loading dock? No, I'm sorry. I have enough trouble changing channels on my remote when I'm watching TV. That's bad on my thumbs. Have you noticed that after a certain age, you have arthritis everywhere in your body? Yeah, it starts in your fingers, like, well, my fingers are a little stiff. I'll just crack my knuckles a little bit. And then you turn like around 50 or 60, and all of a sudden, everything has arthritis. Hey, what's this pain in my shoulder? That's arthritis. What's this pain in my knee? Oh, your knees are starting to go. That's arthritis. Really? What about my neck is cracking? My neck is, that's arthritis. What the hell happened? What is arthritis doing? There's a thing on the market called Prevagen, I believe it is, and it's supposed to reduce the number of brain cells that you lose every day. And I've not taken it, but I don't want to, because I understand that one of the side effects of Prevagen is you lose brain cells. That's not true. I made that up. Well, the important thing is you. And how you're doing. I know. I understand. You don't even have to say it. I know. You know what I need? I need a vacation from nothing. I feel like I've been on vacation for like 4 or 5 months. and I need a vacation from being on vacation. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not able to do everything I want to do, to see everybody I want to see. I can't hug anybody, really, with the restraining order. So it's just been really, really weird. But the nice thing, the only nice thing, is that I get to talk to you every weekday. Better than that is I can't hear you when you talk back, because that's not the way this works. So from my point of view, from my perspective, this is working out. Well, this has been the worst 2020 we've ever had. This has been one of the most obnoxious, horrible years ever, ever. And as bad as this COVID virus has really stifled every facet of life and taken on many lives away from us and put a lot of people in the hospital. By the way, Trump announced yesterday, I don't know if you heard this, but the FDA is bypassing most of its rules to release a plasma treatment for people that are in the hospital and on their deathbeds and stuff. It's a 35% chance that it works. But hey, under the circumstances, when you're lying on your deathbed, 35%, I'll take the 35 and see what happens, man. I mean, like, what have I got to lose? Oh, that was Trump's campaign promise. What have I got to lose? That didn't work out either. Anyway, so Trump very proudly and boldly said, we're passing this right through. If you're in the hospital and intensive care and we can't cure you and you're getting worse, we're gonna put plasma into your body. And I don't think it's a time when people would go, oh, great, you solved that problem. If you're that far gone that you need plasma put into your body to give you a 35% chance of surviving the pandemic, I wouldn't go dancing in the streets. You'd have to be in a horrible state of affairs to have that plasma introduced with your fingers crossed. I mean, that is not a happy release the balloons moment. Don will do anything to save his ass, man. I'm telling you, you haven't even seen the beginning of what he'll do to save his ass. And that's literally what it's all about. It has nothing to do with you or the country. It's about saving his ass, because he's got a lot of ass saving to do, man, I'll tell you. He makes things worse. The post office, holy crap. Yeah, just when people are suffering and lost and losing their foundation and losing their ground, let's make the post office suck. Let's slow it down. Let's throw out the automated machines that make it easier for the mail to be sorted so that the post office can do a great job. Let's get rid of those just before the election. What do you think? And the postmaster general says, all right, I got getting some pressure here. Okay, I'll stop dismantling machines until after the election. That way you won't get your Christmas cards, but, you know, whatever. And I'm not going to put the ones that I dismantled, which is a hell of a lot of them. The locked mailboxes. No, I'm not going to put those back. I just won't take any more away. Oh, thanks a lot. Well, all your solutions suck is pretty much what's going on here. Problem? Okay. Solution? Solution sucks. Ay, 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 ay. Holy mama. Holy mama. As if everything weren't weird enough, there's another asteroid that is going to be swinging closer to the Earth. The day before Election Day. If I were more spiritual, I'd say that means something. But I'm not more spiritual, so it doesn't mean anything. The day before Election Day, an asteroid coming close to Earth. Trump will do anything to avoid the election. I'll pause for the laughter and the applause. Oh, didn't happen. Okay. This celestial object is known as 2018 VP1. Okay, all right, I don't know who got naming rights to that. I don't know what that means. 2018 was probably 2018 is when it was discovered. VP1 is the vice president saw it. I don't know. It's projected to come close to Earth on November 2nd. This is according to the Center for Near-Earth Object Studies. That's an actual division. Center for Near-Earth Object Studies. I guess at least you know what it means. And this is at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Its diameter is like really small. It's like 6.5 feet. I'm almost 6.5 feet tall. That's not a large asteroid. I've had hemorrhoids bigger than that. Another hemorrhoid reference in one, two in one show. That's pretty cool. It was first identified at the Palomar Observatory in California in 2018. Okay, that did answer my question. NASA says there are three potential impacts, but based on 21 observations spanning 12,968 days, the agency has determined the asteroid probably won't have a deep impact, let alone bring Armageddon. Well, that's nice. In other words, if the asteroid hits Earth, it's not going to destroy the planet. The guy who lives in the house where the asteroid hits probably wouldn't be too well off. But, you know, at least we're avoiding Armageddon. The chance of it hitting the Earth at all is just 0.41%. Now, that's not 41%. This is less than 0.5% possibility. But this being 2020, with all the crap that's been going on, that's still a viable possibility because that's the way things have been going lately. I'm laughing, but it's horrible. NASA has no more information other than what I've just read to you at this point. So there you go. I wouldn't go creating asteroid shelters in your basement or anything. I wouldn't go to the store and collect cans of beans. It's not that large. It's like a car falling out of the sky. Not even a car. It's like a guy falling out of the sky and hitting your house. The guy could do damage to it, but I don't know. Beyond the house, anything's going to happen. It's like a sofa being dropped from space. Could be deadly to a guy named Bob, but other than that, probably not. Notice how I always make the victims guys with simple names. An asteroid would never fall out of the sky and kill a guy named Skip. It just wouldn't happen. Just the name alone will protect the man from being hit by an asteroid or a couch in that situation. All right, that's enough. That's enough of you. I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program, not too far from now. She has created a school in New York City that specifically is to teach kids and people online. The interesting part is she started this thing like over a decade ago, well before pandemics were even thought of. There's a movie on television called Pandemic and another one called Outbreak. And they show it on TV every once in a while. And every time I see it in the TV listings or I happen to run by it on my little cable television system, I say to myself, you know, two films that I really don't need to see right now are people running in fear and desperation, wiping out a civilization in a movie called Pandemic. I don't need to see that right now. That's not exactly. That's like you're about to take a trip to Europe on an airline, and the night before you go, you watch a movie about a plane crash. The timing is not great. And the other film, Outbreak, is with Dustin Hoffman, who I have no idea why they chose him. To me, Dustin Hoffman could never act, and half of you don't even know who Dustin Hoffman is. Raise your hand if you know the movie back in the 60s that made Dustin Hoffman a household name, made him the star of this film that just was incredible at the box office. What was the name of that film? Does anybody know? Now, if you're over 50 years old, you probably know. If you're under 50, you don't even know who I am. And I'm significant. I'm significant. The movie was called The Graduate. It starred Dustin Hoffman, who was a nobody at the time. In the film also was a married MILF, a married woman, who was after this Dustin Hoffman character. What was the name of the Dustin Hoffman character in The Graduate, and what was the name of the actress, and what role did she play, being the married older lady who was after Dustin Hoffman, who was just like a college graduate student? I'll give you 2 seconds. Don't Google. Don't ruin this. Don't ruin this with your silly Google stuff, with your little stupid technology. Don't ruin it. Don't go there. The movie was called The Graduate. Dustin Hoffman played a character named Benjamin. That was his first name. It wasn't Ben. It was Benjamin. The role of the whacked out housewife who was after the college grad was Anne Bancroft. And Anne Bancroft played the part of Mrs. Robinson. All right. What famous musical duo did the soundtrack for that and even cut a song about Mrs. Robinson? And, what was the name of that famous duo? Do you know? Come on. SNF? No. S&G? Yeah. Simon and Garfunkel. Again, there's a good part of my audience that's saying, why are you slurring your words, Ron? No, this was the name of the group. They were very, very popular around that time. All right, fine. Ladies and gentlemen, how are you, first of all? And last of all, how are you? I do care. I say it on every show. Man, it's getting tired. I really care about how you're doing. I know nobody else does. Nobody but me cares about how you're doing. And even I don't really care. I don't know if that makes you feel good or not. Do you know what I do when I'm not feeling great about myself? Oh, I don't look in the mirror. No, we went through that last week. Take a shower. Shower's amazing. It is. I don't know what it is. It cleans your body, supposedly. But it also like cleans your mind for some reason. I don't understand how that works, because it doesn't seep into your brain. But when you get out of a shower, you just feel exhilarated and fresh. Unless you got a big problem, then it never went away. I don't know. This is weird stuff going on. I don't know. I have no idea. Christmas is going to be weird. Thanksgiving's going to be weird. Oh, man. I don't know how we're going to get through that one. It's going to be rough. A lot of people are going to have a weird time with that. I'll find it interesting is what I'll find it to be. I don't know where we're going to be then. Are we going to have a new president elected? Not necessarily kicked out of the White House yet, but there'll be a new presidential election person to take place in January. You know. Here's what should happen. And I didn't write the Constitution because I don't like to do things in longhand, and back then it had to be in longhand. I would have written the Constitution, 2 sheets of paper. That's about it. That's all I need. I'm like the Ten Commandments. I'll give you 10 points. You work the rest out. Here's what I put down. Election Day is the first Tuesday in November. All right, that's in the Constitution or whatever you call that thing. Here's what I would say. The day after, the guy that's defeated, it's over. The guy that wins stays in the White House, if that's the case, or packs the bags and gets the hell out of there. Within a day or two, you're evicted. In other words, as soon as the president is announced after Election Day, whoever won the election, the day after that, there should be a moving van at the White House. There really should. Why do we wait till January? Do you realize that somebody like Trump, if he lost, he would be there like for another 3 months, knowing that he lost? I mean, if you think he screwed things up now, just wait until you have nothing to lose for 3 months. You're going to make it as sucky as you can for the guy coming in, which would be Biden. That'll be interesting in itself. Forget the rhetoric. Will he actually leave? Will he have to be escorted out by the military? Will they take him out dragging and kicking and suing all the Supreme Courts and stuff? If he's just going to screw things up for 3 months because he's out of there. He lost. What is he going to do? Hang around and do things for the country like he did for the past 4 years? Seriously? That's the dangerous time. And I got to tell you something. I don't care if you like Trump or Biden. I'm telling you something. Whatever it is, this is not the time to fool around. I was going to use a different word. This is not the time to fool around and to play games and these little cheesy conversations here. This is like serious crap going on. So let's, I don't know. Timing is everything. What is that phrase, the perfect storm? Yeah, we got the perfect storm. All right, my guest is going to join me momentarily, and that means you too. This is a fascinating guest. I really, it's amazing what she's done. And she's going to join us. But first, I'm feeling a little itchy.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Hi, Ron.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic over here. Thank you.
Wonderful. Dawn Leslie Stewart is the founder and director of the Perry School, which is an innovative concept in what we may need right now. When did you come up with this concept, Dawn?
I actually started the school, Ron, in 2001 in Manhattan in the West Village. Oh. And I've been doing the think tank program online since 2008.
Wow. You're progressive. That or you saw the future. I don't know which, but one way or the other. This is like exactly what everybody needs right now as we're looking at the fall and kids going back to school and realizing that this may not work out and people are nervous about alternatives, and you've had one in place for quite some time.
Absolutely.
Is this specific to preschool ages?
It is. It's actually ages young twos through age five.
Okay. And those are probably the ages that need this pre-structure and pre-education more than anybody, I would assume.
Absolutely. These are the formative years. This is where all the brain development is happening. And if early childhood years are done right, it really sets the stage for the future educational experience of the child. So it's very, very important indeed.
Dawn, this came into play, obviously, early spring of earlier this year. Did you see a marked difference in attendance and in interest?
Well, actually, we were fortunate. We obviously, this came down last minute from the mayor, and we fortunately were prepared in advance. We had already been putting Think Tank into play, and we had plans for potentially putting this program online. And it just so happens that when the pandemic hit and we were locked down very quickly, we quickly had a staff meeting, a parent meeting, and we got this thing right on board. We pivoted quickly and had a seamless transition into the online learning. We actually lost very few children. We were able to hold the majority of our children at Perry School, which is amazing.
Dawn, the big question is, how do you juggle, how does a parent juggle their job and taking care of their young children who aren't leaving the abode? I assume that that's a major discussion.
We actually saw a lot of those scenarios, Ron, during the pandemic, so it was an interesting education for us, wanting to really help families. And some of the tips I can give, going back in the fall after we've been through so much over the past many months, is to find a very high-quality remote learning program. As you know, many of the programs rolled over. They did only on-demand learning, or they didn't get the Zoom thing down, and a lot of the families and children were very disappointed or just really didn't learn anything at all. So this needs to change. I'm hoping for some sort of national Zoom training to help all the teachers get this thing going, because it's definitely super important. One of the things that we did one-on-one coaching with the parents, caregivers, anyone that was available that was going to be the person, the point person for their education. We did training for them. We also went inside their homes and looked and tried to find a quiet zone and a really good setup for learning for the child, which would mean a table and chair, no distractions. We created something called something called Zoom etiquette. And Zoom etiquette is you have to come to school dressed. You have to make sure you're not eating. You're sitting on a chair. You're not bouncing off the sofa. You're not bringing toys to the setting and things like that.
Perfect. Wow. You're intelligent, Dawn. I'm telling you, man, because
we're trying over here.
Well, you're doing everything that makes sense, actually, because that's part of the structure and then the psychology of it, too. And that does come into play. And that's what a lot of these programs miss. So congratulations on that theory. That's great. Why do you call it Think Tank as opposed to online education learning?
We started Think Tank with that name because we wanted it to really express that it was a tank for thinking. So a bunch of children together with educators and parents together, mixing it all up and doing it together to really push children to their highest potential. support children to their highest potential.
Yeah,
that's a better way to put it.
You know what I like about it specifically is that preschoolers, their attention span's a little bit different sometimes, and you need an extra little connection in order to keep the attention of a child, which, as we all know, can go in many directions very quickly. This is a way of engaging. Children seem to be more, my experience, children seem to be more engaged when it's something that has a mode of entertainment or technology to it, or watching a screen as opposed to looking at a clock in a classroom or something. Do you find that to be more engaging than someone standing in front of a room?
Well, it depends. I mean, it needs to be. We did a lot with Zoom. We were able to get on point with Zoom very quickly, and we did a lot of studying point by point as we went along.
Yeah.
And what we did, Ron, was first of all, we did small class sizes.
Yeah.
You must do small class sizes on Zoom. It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, we made it very fun and fast-paced and engaging. We had a lot of materials. We used cards and pictures and big storybooks. We used, when we were teaching the reading, for example, we did the words in large letters written in a big Sharpie pen so the kids could really see it. So the visual stimulation is very important to keep the kids engaged and fast-paced. And making sure, too, that coaching the parents that when it's not the child's turn, that the parent makes it the child's turn at home so that the child is completely engaged the entire time because they're only 30-minute sessions and you really want to make the best of it.
Yeah. But on a screen, things can be up close for everybody as opposed to in a large room where you can't really see what's going on. There are other distractions. That's why I think it's sometimes more effective for that age group than
It's interesting, Ron, that we actually found that we had higher success on the remote learning with Think Tank.
Yeah, I would assume so. It makes all the sense in the world. Well, you're out of New York City, right?
Yes.
Is this available to people beyond the city?
The amazing thing about the remote learning, Ron, is that for the first time ever, children anywhere in the world can come and get Think Tank at Perry School, get a private school education for a fraction of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just truly incredible.
It is truly incredible.
That's the silver lining in all of this.
Yes, yes. And I know you're geared up for...
It's affordable.
Yeah, a lot of other things aren't affordable, quite obviously. I assume you're all geared up for the onslaught that may occur all of a sudden.
We are getting ready.
Yeah, good. Okay. Congratulations to you for thinking this way ahead of time, and it's certainly come into play. And I think, and I'm sure you do too, that this will be the way of the future as far as education is concerned.
I agree.
Yeah, very good. How do people get in touch and find out more?
They can get in touch with us at www.perryschool.com. That's perryschool.com. Mm-hmm.
You're a true teacher the way you spelled it out instead of just saying it. Okay.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you so much. Have a good day. That's it for me today. Here's the weird part of this. I'm going to be back again tomorrow on Tuesday with a brand new show. I know. Who would have thought that would have been possible after this show? Yeah. So join me again then. I'll be here anytime you want to come to me tomorrow. I'll be here waiting for you with open arms. No touching. No touching. Until then, I wish you peace.